Open your Bibles with me this morning to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. The apostle makes reference to the farmer waiting on his precious crop. Amen? And as the farmer waits on his precious crop of corn, as a cornologist, I have some of the finest corn ears I've ever heard. Ha ha. There's something about the corn. The most important part of the corn is the ears. And today I pray that you have ears to hear what the Spirit of God has to say. I'm trying to build up my corniness. I've been slack in a couple areas there in the corn. Wouldn't you agree, Amber? Joe is coaching me. Amen. I'm learning from one of the very best. Amen. But the key of this is when we're waiting for an answer, you know, as a farmer, when his crop's in the ground, he isn't giving up just because he isn't seeing the crop. He still has faith and believes that the crop is going to blossom and it's going to grow and it's going to produce what he's seeking and what he's looking for. You know, the psalmist says in Psalms 27:14, he says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord." Amen. How many know that sometimes the waiting is kind of the hardest part? Amen. Amen. I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes we really need an answer, okay? So the Lord wants to speak to us today. So in James chapter 5, verse number 7, he says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." And I believe that the coming of the Lord, and today I'm speaking about the coming of the Lord and the answers to what you're looking for, okay? And the Lord tells us to be patient. I don't know about you, but that's an area the Lord is constantly working in my life on. Amen? That Webster's defines patience as the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Hello? Boy, that's a difficult one, isn't it? Amen? So today, the title of this morning's message is Delayed, Not Denied. Delayed, Not Denied. And we're going to look at the patience, the pause, and the promise. Okay? Can we lift our word together and make a declaration here? Repeat after me and say, "I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Speak to me, Lord. I'm listening. My ears are open and my heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me." Father, we're so grateful that you're sending your word here today to accomplish something in each and every heart of everyone that's gathered here. You have something to say to everyone. You will not leave one out, Father God, not only in this atmosphere here, but as the word's broadcasted across the web and reaches other nations and other people, Father God, it'll accomplish what you're sending it to do. So, Father, I pray even right now, Lord Jesus, may Carl get out of the way. Speak through me today, Father God. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer that's gathered here today. And will never cease to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. So first thing the writer says here is, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Okay? So in other words, he's the author and finisher of our faith. He who has begun a good work in us is faithful to see it through to completion. But at the same time, he's calling us to wait upon him, to be patient, to wait joyfully. Amen? The prophet the writer Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 8, he says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. For anger resteth in the bosom of fools. And Ephesians 4:26, the Apostle Paul says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Amen? So God is saying, as we're patient and we're angry and we're mad and we go to bed with that mindset, the adversary is going to tear us up in our dream life. Amen? He's going to attack us in many different directions. So the Word of God says in Matthew, no, excuse me, go with Hebrews chapter 10. Sorry. Hebrews chapter 10. We're talking about being patient, like the farmer. He's waiting on the crop. In verse number 35, the Word of God says this. He says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For a little while, and he shall come, will come, and will not tarry. Then he says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen? And in other words, he's telling us to be angry, you know, not to get angry and not let the sun go down in our anger, but to be patient and wait upon the Lord. He says, they that wait upon the Lord, he'll renew your strength. And you'll mount up with wings as eagles. You'll be able to run and not grow weary and walk and not faint. So as we're patiently waiting for our answer, you know, I don't know, when I'm waiting for an answer, sometimes I get unrestful. I get anxious. Amen? But the Word of God says in James chapter 1, verse number 4, he says this. He says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You know, if we're to have perfect peace and we're to have the patience, amen, we grow patience through trials. Hello? But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, the Bible says the trial of our faith bringeth patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. You know, God has given us a helper to help us wait on him. What God is saying to you right now, he is saying that he's not denying what you're seeking and what you're looking for. In the delay, he says, have patience. He says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge me, and I'll direct your paths. I'm going to meet you right where you're at. But when he meets us right where we're at, he loves us so much, he doesn't want to leave us there. Amen? So what we're looking at and what we're learning is God is always at work doing something. Amen? And every time I think that I have arrived, he opens up a new side of me that I wasn't even noticing. And he shows me something that went past my attention, okay? So he that's begun a good work is faithful to see it through if we allow him to. And if we truly believe God's word, where he says all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose, we know that whatever we're facing, it's for our benefit. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a quick learner. Amen? I don't want to be a slow learner. You know, sometimes, you know, when I'm going through something, the Father says, do this. And I say, well, I really don't feel like doing that, but I will do this. And I'll go ahead and do this. But I notice that what I'm going through hasn't changed because God gave him my answer, but I didn't like the answer. So I chose my own way instead of his way. And sometimes his way doesn't make a bit of sense. Amen? And if you're trying to reason with your human mind, you're going to get all messed up. Amen? Because God doesn't work in that fashion. God works by faith and obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice, the Word of God says. So is it better for us just to be sensitive to what he is saying? And if he says to do something, just say, yes, sir. Amen? Secondly, he says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. He said, the husbandman or the farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, amen, and has long patience for it, amen. In other words, there's a time of waiting, and what the Lord is saying here is I have this as the pause, the delay in your answer, okay? Has anybody been here, been seeking the Lord for something they haven't received yet? Come on, be honest, lift up your hand. You know what the truth of the matter is? Every one of us are in that place somewhere or somehow. Amen. Every one of us are looking or seeking God for something, are we not? Amen. And we haven't truly seen it manifest itself right yet? Have we? Amen. So what does he say? He tells you and I, don't grow weary in well-doing, for a due season you'll reap if you faint not. Amen. And in other words, it's what we do in the pause. Here in Psalm 13, we find the psalmist felt like he was totally deserted of God. Let me ask you this. Has anybody ever been in a place where they feel like God has deserted them? Come on, be honest. Amen? All of a sudden, the psalmist is saying this. Look with me in Psalm 13, verse number 1. The Word of God says this. The psalmist, he's feeling deserted. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel with my soul, having sorrow in my heart? Daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. They're all good. Rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully to me. In other words, even in the midst, amen, even in the midst where he hadn't got his answer yet, the psalmist all of a sudden is speaking out of his flesh, and all of a sudden the Spirit quickens him, and all of a sudden he's seeking the Lord. And you know, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, everyone that seeketh finds, and everyone knocks, the door will be opened. Amen? So as we're looking at this, what the Lord is saying to us, sometimes when we're waiting, God sometimes, and most of the times, he always shows up in the suddenlies, the all of a suddens. Yes. Amen. And here's in Daniel chapter 9, we find that Daniel is in a time of dryness, okay? He's in a time of of tribulation and trial and Daniel chapter 9, verse number 19. And this is his prayer. He said, "O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name." And all of a sudden, in the midst of this, when Daniel was through the trial of faith, and all of a sudden, what did Daniel do? Daniel began to pray for others. Daniel began to intercede for his brethren. Daniel began to intercede for his nation, for his country, for his world. And it was kind of amazing, because as Daniel began to pray in the midst of his trial and the midst of his tribulation, and the next few verses, the angel Gabriel showed up. And the angel Gabriel touched him, and the touch was the touch of Jesus Christ. And then the angel Gabriel opened up his mind and his eyes to give him revelation of the coming of Christ and the end times of the world. Amen. But this began in the time when he was going through a trial, he was going through a test, but he trusted in the Lord. And the Lord sent an angel on his behalf and opened up the eyes of his understanding and quickened his spirit. Amen. You know, when I was looking at that, the Lord reminded me in John chapter 11, in the delay. John chapter 11. Verse number 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee." And Jesus saith unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." And Martha saith unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day." But Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever believeth in me shall never die." And a few moments later, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And I believe what the Lord wanted to say to you today. You may be at a place where it seems like the things that you are asking and seeking the Lord for seem like they're dead. Seems like there's no hope. And Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. I can bring us suddenly in your life. I can turn things around. I can change things that you never thought could be changed. Keep your eyes upon me," says the Lord. "Lean not to your own understanding. Follow me." Amen. And when he was saying that to me, he took me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, verse number 42. And he says this. Jesus said, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." Amen. You know, I don't know about you, but with the Lord, it seems like with me, it seems always to be at the midnight hour. It's 11:59. The clock is about to change. And all of a sudden, the Lord shows up. Amen? Why is he showing up at that time? Because he wants us to grow and learn something in through the storm. God doesn't bring any evil upon you. The Word of God says that, "Let no man say he when he is tempted. He is tempted by God. Because God is not tempted with evil, neither does God tempt any man. But when tempted, we're drawn away by our own lust and enticed. When lust is conceived, it becomes sin. And when sin is finished, it becomes death, because the wages of sin is death." What God is saying to you is God is the resurrection and the life. God is here to bring life. He's not speaking doom and gloom over any of his children. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm alive because he's alive. Amen. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm happy because he makes me happy. I always thought that things of the world would make me happy, but I never was happy. But now I'm happy, especially when I see that car in the parking lot. I know that you had fun riding that over here today, didn't you? Did you obey the speed limit?
I obeyed it, yeah.
Okay. Were you tempted any?
A lot.
Okay. See, here's a testimony for all of us. He's got a hot rod. He drove it over. He was tempted, but he didn't give in to the temptation. Amen? What the Lord is saying to you and I want you to get a hold of this today because it's so important. He says, have patience, children. Amen? Don't get angry. Worst thing you do is get angry at God. Half the stuff that we go through is a lot of times is seeds that we sow. And, you know, the Word of God says, God is not mocked for whatsoever man soweth. That shall he also reap. So sometimes there's seed. Sometimes we got to wait for that seed to pass, and we got to sow new seed. Amen? And we pray that the new seed overcomes the bad seed. Amen? I don't know about you, but I've used this before, but if you're planting a wheat field, or we'll say you planted a cornfield, and you change the field into a wheat field, you'll notice in that wheat field, all the way in different areas of that wheat field, there's corn coming up. And you may do that for years, and corn will continue to come up, but it'll eventually dissipate and disappear because the wheat will overcome the corn. And your faith in God has to overcome my corn. Hello? Amen. Why do you think I did that? Huh? To bring joy into the room. Amen? Because God wants you to understand no matter what you're going through, he's asking us to have patience in the pause and hold on to the promise. Amen? And all the promises of God are? Yes and amen. So if we believe that, let's go with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Verse number 10. He says, until I give you the former and latter rain. In a farmer, you have the spring rain, you have the fall rain, the harvest rain. So God says, as we're sowing in the early rain, we'll harvest in the latter rain. Okay? So he says in Isaiah 55, verse number 10, he says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth in bud, that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper the thing whereunto I sent it. Amen? So we're speaking the word today into your circumstance and your situation, that you've had to have patience in the pause or the delay so that we hold on to the promise of God. In Acts chapter 14, are you with me? In Acts chapter 14, verse 17, the Word of God says this. He says, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Amen. How many are going to be glad when they get a belly full of food after church today? But the food he wants to talk to you about is the Word of God. Because as we dine on the Word of God, he'll bring gladness of heart. Barbara Judy, he has made me glad.
He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Hallelujah. Has he made anybody glad in the house? Come on, has he made anybody glad in the house? Has he made anybody glad in the house? You know, the Bible says, the writer of Hebrews says, faith is the substance of things we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. So if we're being patient in spirit and we're believing for God in the even in the pause that he's going to answer his promise, I can be glad. I can rejoice. Amen? Can we just say, thank you, Jesus?
Thank you.
Amen? You know, everything the adversary tries to do, he always is trying to steal our joy. Why is he stealing my joy? Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. When I learn to laugh at him instead of react, hello? In other words, when the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift a standard up against him. And our standard was raised by the cross of Calvary. When Jesus said it was finished, everything has been completed. Now he's just trusting us to enter into his finished work and believe him at his word. Amen? Amen? And then we can be victorious. Amen? And Acts chapter 11, I just love the word of God. Amen? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. We're trying to overcome some things. We're trying to get victory over some things. So the word of God is going forth to strengthen our faith. Everyone came in the door as a child of God with a measure of faith. Everybody's faith is important, but as the word goes forth, faith increases. Amen. When faith increases, doubt decreases. Amen. So in Acts chapter 11, verse 23, speaking about Barnabas, he says, who, when he came, had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And in other words, the Lord is saying, hang on. It isn't over till it's over. I ain't going to use that old cliche because it's not fair. Amen. It isn't over till it's over. Amen? No matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like, God is at work. And he says that he will carry you through. Amen? He's never going to leave us or forsake us. I saw somebody post this on Facebook the other day. I don't know if it was you or not. But they were talking about riding a train. And when you're in a train and the train goes through a tunnel and it's completely dark, you don't throw your tickets out of the window and jump off the train. You trust the engineer. And when you're going through your darkest hour, trust God. He said he would never leave you nor forsake you, that he would be as close as the call of his name. Amen. And even though I'm not feeling it with my flesh sometimes, my spirit man says, he is here. And he's doing great and mighty things. Amen. So in closing today, in Acts chapter 14, verse number 22, this is speaking about the perseverance. To persevere, amen, to hang in there. The word of God says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. But he says that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God, amen. God never said to any of us that we would not go through battles in this life. But what he promised you and I is that we would never go through them alone. Not only does he give us his Spirit to walk with us, but he places brothers and sisters in Christ around us to help encourage us. What did we ask the Lord to do? To edify us today, to build us up, to encourage us, and to comfort us by his word. And what the Lord is saying in closing today, he said, hey, my children, be patient. Even in the pause or the delay, hang on to my promises. And when you stand on my promises, you will persevere. Amen? God will see you through. No matter what it seems like, no matter what it looks like, recognize that God has a plan in your life and he called you on purpose, with purpose, for purpose. Amen? Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for sending your word here to accomplish what you've sent it to do in our hearts and lives. First and foremost, Lord, is you spoke to us today about being patient, not to get angry or upset. That even in this pause, and maybe you're here today and you've been in a delay. You've paused to answering the call of God on your life or giving your heart to the Lord. He says to you today, he says, behold, I stand at your heart's door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. The Apostle Paul said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you're here today and you do not know Jesus, or maybe one time you knew him, but you're not in the place you need to be. You feel him ministering and calling you today. Would you slip up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus. Is there anybody at all? I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Would you come with me? Would you get up your chair and come meet me up here for a moment? Everybody in the congregation, continue to pray. Come, my friend. Come. Thank you for your faith. You don't have to look at them. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Father God, for working on hearts and lives today. I thank you for the value that you've instilled in these three individuals, Father God, these two women and this man, Father God, that you have a plan in their hearts and you have a plan for their lives. And Father God, as they're standing today to respond to you, may they do it openly without any fear. Because you didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So as they pray today and they say these words with their mouth, may it come from their heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does speak. So would you pray with me, the three of you, just repeat after me. You're not praying to me, you're praying to Jesus, but I'm just going to guide you and lead you. Say, dear Jesus, come into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. I acknowledge you died on the cross. You arose from the grave. You paid the penalty for my sins. You purchased me